All right. Well, Jerry, listen, you've been preserving the rich tradition of American popular music for many years. You've done radio, television, film, music. Yeah. Take us back. Yeah. Give us some history. How did you get started in show business?
Let me tell you what happened, my little brother. You know, I was born in 1940. I was born in South Philadelphia. My father was in the book that I've written, A Jewish Racketeer, number writer, bootlegger back in those days in the 30s. And he was on the lam. And my mother, who was the youngest of the Capuanas, he was Jewish, she was Italian. She would go to the movies after they got done cleaning with my Aunt Filomeno, who was the oldest of the Capuana girls. And the cops are looking for this guy. He runs into the theater. He sits next to my mother in an empty seat, puts his arm around my mother. The cops don't find a single guy. So they go out. My mother smacks him. She's 16. Aunt Filomena smacks him. She's 22. To make a long story short, it begins where they run away and get married. My sister is born 1938. I'm born in 1940. Because he's in and out of the can, I am shipped off to St. Monica's Day Nursery. By day, I'm at the day nursery. Coming out of the day nursery, I'm at a safe house with my grandmom Capuana, where there's always music. That's to have dinner. After dinner, we go back to my house on Bancroft Street, which by day is a bookie joint, and by night, tables are all taken out and you sleep. That's mm-hmm. the existence.
Okay.
Raised by the Immaculate Heart nuns. But I discover radio. I'm a kid and I'm listening to these wonderful serials, The Lone Ranger. I'm listening to Straight Arrow, a Native American Indian who is from Texas, who is a rancher, but he goes into this cave. In this cave, he becomes a Comanche warrior, and his name is Straight Arrow, and his horse is called Fury, and he goes, Kaniwa Fury. So radio, at that time, intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the Capuanas, because they were very successful in the coal and ice business, they had a big Victrola, and I would listen to the music, Harry Como, the Ink Spots, the Mills Brothers. This is like 1944-45.
Okay.
I'm a kid. But the music and the serials hit me. Radio hit me. It was like in my mind, as Dick Clark once said to me, it was the theater of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could take you away from the everyday situations of life. And there would always be dancing in the Capuana house. And I'd be jitterbug with my mother and my aunts and my uncles. And one day, at the age of 13, I see a show called Bandstand. Now, not Dick Clark's Bandstand.
Okay.
Bob Horn's Bandstand. I sneak in. They're doing, because you had to be 14, there's a dance contest going on. I grab Joe Mazzu, who's from South Philly. I get into the dance contest. We win the first round. We got to go back for the second round. I win the whole dance contest. Back in South Philly now. I'm getting fan mail. It's a whole new world.
Mm.
World of show business.
All right.
Now Bob Warren finds out that I am not 14. And I don't lie. He said, how'd you get in? I said, we came in where all the camera guys came in. He said, look, you're getting fan mail. You're the most popular kid here. What we want you to do is become the head of the dance committee. Now, that means when you watched Bandstand, you had kids in the bleachers. And when you went out to the commercial, you rotated the kids from the bleachers onto the floor. That was my job. He also said to me, listen, you listen to radio? I said, yep. What do you like? I said, I like rock and roll. I like rhythm and blues. He said, okay, I'm going to give you a couple of records for Rate the Record. I'm going to give you a song by Pat Boone called Later Than Shame. I'm going to give you a song by Laverne Baker called Tweedledee Dee. I said, yo, Bob, that's not the real deal. He said, well, these are the national hits. I said, Bob, Little Richard had Tutti Frutti, not Pat Boone. Fats Domino had Ain't It a Shame, not Pat Boone. Laverne Baker at Tweedledee Dee. So he said, well, how do you know that? I said, because I listened to Jocko, the Ace from Outer Space, on WDAS. And we listened to Georgie Woods. He's playing the real deal. So he said, okay, get me the records that you want me to put, rate the record. And I got him all of the black music, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they would win every time, 98, 97. Bob Horn, incidentally, my buddy, was the first white guy on TV to play black music.
Okay.
Now, he gets fired. I leave Bandstand. I get a group called Danny and the Juniors.
I remember them.
A song called At the Hop.
Mm-hmm.
I become the road manager.
Okay.
Meanwhile, because my dad is a pretty well-known guy around town, I'm hanging at nightclubs. I'm 16, 17 years old. You know, I always wanted to be older back then as a kid. And I always learned to stay away from negative people. I always wanted to learn from people who were positive,
mm-hmm.
who were smart. I dressed like I was 20 when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I become a valet for a guy by the name of Don Rickles.
Okay.
But meanwhile, when I danced on Bandstand, I met a little guy. I used to have to take care of the guests. I would take care of Tony Bennett, the DeCastro sisters, Dakota Staton, Della Reese. These were the big stars at that time, Joni James. And I meet a little guy who's in town promoting a show called Mr. Wonderful. He sees me dancing. I get off the dance floor Bandstand and I say, now, Bob Horn said, this is your spot. You hit the spot. He says, man, where'd you learn how to dance like that? I said, man, everybody from South Philly can dance like that. He said, man, you're like a white maid, kid. It was Sammy Davis Jr.
Wow.
And from that moment in 1954 to the day he died, May the 16th, he died, 1990. He was 64 years of age, and I zipped him up in the bag out in the West Coast.
Wow.
So this was all the beginning of my beginning in show business.
All right, now you went on to become a legendary radio personality, the Geeter with the Heater, Jerry Blavitt. Tell us how you got started in radio.
I never intended to be on radio. I come back from off the road with Danny and the Juniors, and I get into a crap game, dice game, in an alley with some of the wise guys. One of the guys has a nightclub called the Venus Lounge in South Philadelphia. And, you know, you're doing street talk. You know, what am I going to do with the club? I'm doing good business. But Monday night, we're dead. And another wise guy says, yeah, well, talk to Blavitt. You know, he's in show business, sarcastically. And I said, yeah, well, yeah, I got an idea for you. Why don't you do a radio show? He says, what do you know about radio? What do I know about radio? I'm on the road with Danny and the Juniors. I'm with Chuck Berry on the road. We visit radio stations for promotion. He said, nah, you ain't going to be able to get me a radio show. I said, tell you what, I had the dice. I said, if I hit my number, you give me money to do a radio show. You never hit the number. Bam, 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 I hit the number.
Mm.
He says, okay, if you're that lucky, do a radio show. I go up to Camden, New Jersey, which is city-owned. You got the Gospel Hour, the Polish Hour, the Italian Hour. You buy time. So I buy the time for $120. And I say to him, I need $150. I'm going to grab it another $30. He says, no problem. Meanwhile, I own the hour, and I go out and I start to sell it 60 minutes, a 15-minute block. So I've got $240 coming in. Plus, I got his 30. I got like 270. I'm making money back then, okay? Snowstorm closes the club down. But meanwhile, what I was doing, I wasn't playing music at the club. I was doing an interview with all the cats that I worked with on the road. Whenever Sammy was in town, he'd be on the radio with me. And that Funicella, she'd be on the radio with me. Chuck Berry, when he was around, playing the Cadillac Show Bar, they'd be on the radio. But Snowstorm comes, closes the club down. I own the time. Can't do it from WC. I can't do it from the Venus, but I got to do it on WCAM. So I'm doing dances also, teenage dances, because I was always popular in South Philadelphia because of Bandstand.
Mm-hmm.
So I get all these kids that are the committee kids on my dance, which was a takeoff of what we did on Bandstand. And we shovel out the snow, and I take my rock and roll rhythm and blues records that I was playing and I used to buy as a kid. 1960, start to play Frankie Lyman, The Teenagers, Laverne Baker, Little Richard, Fats Domino, The Cleftones, Earl Lewis and the Channels, Little Anthony. The phones lit up because the kids at that time never heard this music. This music is 3-4 years old. This is 1960. But the kids are surfing the dial to find out if they're off, if the schools are closed. And they hear this music, man. Never had a reaction like this ever.
Mm.
Instead of being on the radio for 1 hour, we went on for 4 hours.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Next day, when I get home early in the morning, manager calls me. He says, what did you do? I figured maybe I'm in trouble here. I said, listen, bud, couldn't do the show. He says, I know, you were at the studio. But what were you playing? I said, I was playing the music that I used to buy, the music that I danced to on Bandstand. He said, whatever you did, man, we've never had a reaction on a bartered show like this. I suggest that what you should do is do the show from the studio. I went back to the Venus. I said, guys, you know, I would like, they said, you can't play music here. Okay, you gave me the out, and it began 1960. Phones will light up because I'm playing this music that kids never heard before. And what happened is I also started to incorporate music that had a rhythm rock and roll beat. The Isley Brothers, Twist and Shout. The Chiffons, He's So Fine. Tristan Matilda by Jimmy Soul. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, Jimmy Soul. And I'm playing Gary U.S. Bonds, and I'm playing the Orlans. And that's how it began on radio.
Mm.
From 1960 to 1965, we syndicated the radio show. We were doing WCAM, I was doing from 9 to 11. I wind up going on WHAT. And this is interesting. I was the first white disc jockey ever to be on an all-black station, WHAT. They didn't realize that I was white because my rap and my rhythm came from the black disc jockeys who had soul. So I developed, I had to come up with a name. I just couldn't be Jerry Blavitt. So I said, you know, this is crazy. The phones are lit up. People are calling. I got to come up with a name. I'm all the way at the other end of the dial. I didn't go to school to become a disc jockey, but yet I'm happening. So I said, how do you equate it? Wait, an alligator in the mud in Florida. You think it's sleeping. If you go near it, man, it snatches you. That's it. But I can't be an alligator. Gator, gator, gator. I'll be a gator. But what makes sense? As soon as you hear me on the radio, I got you. I'm the Gita. But what makes sense? The music I'm playing is so hot. And the parents are saying in the back, turn that guy down. I remember.
You're too much, man.
If you're freezing on the corner,
uh-huh.
A guy comes by, he's got a car, you jump into the car, you say, turn the heater up. After 10 minutes, you say, it's too hot, turn it down.
Mm.
I was so hot, the parents are saying, turn that guy down. The legend of the geater with the heater. The hot heater was the record pleater, and I became the boss with the hot sauce. With the hot sauce that you would use on ribs
mm.
if you want the bees
all
on
right.
one side.
Sound good to me, brother.
I'm telling you, man. So, 16
okay.
to 1965.
You've been doing it.
I'm doing record hops. All the other disc jockeys hate me.
Well,
except the black cats,
because
mm-hmm. they know what I was doing. But before I came along, WIBG
mm-hmm.
had Bill Wright, Joe Niagara, Humble Harvey Miller, Hylett, all those guys. Mm-hmm. And they were playing what they were told to play.
Okay.
And they were doing record hops where they would do 200-300 kids.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started to do the record hops, because I looked like a kid, I danced like a kid,
mm-hmm.
I would do 1,000 kids. Mm-hmm. So these guys used to really knock the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was funny back in those days. But I never looked. I just did what I wanted to do.
Well, let's do this one. Tim Marshall with special guest, the Geeter with the Heater, Jerry Blavitt, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, In My Lonely Room, Motown Classic on the R&B Showcase. The year was 1966 for that great classic on Motown's Gordy label, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. And we're paying tribute to Philadelphia radio legend, the Geeter with the Heater, Jerry Blavitt. And Jerry, I know you like to do the things you do. You like to play from the heart and not the record chart. But have you ever done format radio?
Let me tell you, I resisted format radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a great story, and it's okay. In the book. When I really became hot, and they did acknowledge that I was somebody, because if I would play He's So Fine, they would not play it until the record started to sell. So I was busting records wide open that they were forced to put on the list because the record stores were selling the record, and they would have to get reaction before they put it on the list. So when they finally acknowledged me, the manager of WIBG came to me and said, look, we would like to give you an airship on WIBG, but you got to play what's on our list, and we don't want the Geeter with the Heater. We want Jerry Blavitt. His name was Joe Conway.
Mm-hmm.
Store Broadcasting.
Mm.
I said, Joe, what are you going to pay? We're going to pay you $35,000. I said, Joe, do you know I make $125,000 with record hops and promotions? Why would you even think that I would do format radio? I wouldn't do it. Now, I'm not worried about the money, but if you allow me to be the Geeter on a 50,000-watt station, no problem. He said, that's not going to happen because I'm already having problems with the disc jockeys. And he said, that's one of the reasons why we wanted you here, so there will be no problems with the jockeys. I said, Joe, thank you. So that's it. WHAT, Black Station, WCAM, Hamden, New Jersey. What happens now? The show on HAT becomes so big from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. At Dolly Banks, and Hot Rod was doing it before I came along. Hot Rod was out of Baltimore. He, by the way, was the guy who created the Rocket Ship show before Jocko.
Okay, I didn't wear that. Okay.
His name was Hot Rod Hubert.
Okay.
So he left to go back, and Dolly Banks said to me, look, how would you like to do 6 to 8? I went on 6 to 8, and that was the beginning. The ratings on WHAT, for the first time, they beat WDAS.
Wow.
She said to me, look, we want to extend the show.
Mm.
I said, okay. She said, we can only pay $1.75 an hour. I said, Dolly Banks, I don't want the money. Just don't tell me what to play, mm-hmm. what to say, and what to do. That only happened on WHAT, man. In 1964, Dick Clark is leaving to go to the West Coast. He and I became very dear friends because he would call me up and said, the kids are raving about a song you played called Party Lights by Claudine Clark. Where'd you get it? I said, it's on Chancellor Records. He said, they heard you play a song, Here Am I Broken Hearted, you know, Jamie Guyton. They heard you play Sherry, VGA Records. So he would call me about music. We became dear friends. When he was leaving to go to the West Coast, there is a going away party, and it's at the Venus Lounge,
mm.
South Philadelphia, okay? I am there. Lou Klein, who was Dick Clark's producer,
okay,
was there. Charlie O'Donnell, who was his announcer. They were going to the coast. Lou Klein was going to be still in Philadelphia. Dick says to Lou Klein, look, I'm leaving. why don't you think about Jerry doing a local TV show? Because you don't have anything going right now. And I had been doing on Saturdays a local show with Ed Hurst called Summertime on the Pier.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like just a guest host with dances, you know, doing all the dances. So Luke Klein says to me, all right, go out and make a pilot. 1964. I hired the people from WCAU, Bat Robinson, who was a black producer, who, by the way, also was a writer for Sesame Street later on in his life. I got a couple of other people from CAU. We did a pilot. Sent it over to WFIL. Heard nothing. This is October of 64. November, at the end of November, I get a call from Matt Robinson from CAU, who says, listen, the guys, Bruce Bryan, who is the general manager of CAU, wants to see you about the possibility of you doing a show on WCAU. Okay, we go over there. I sit down with him and the program director, Al Hollander. And he says, we don't like the pilot, but we like the way you move. We like what we see here. If you were to do a TV show for us, how would you do it? I said, first of all, I would not be behind a podium. I would not wear a suit and tie. They said, well, where would you be? I said, I would be on a riser. And all around me would be the kids that are dancing with me. I'm on a riser. They're on the dance floor. They said, okay, what about when you would have guest stars? I said, I'd have them on. I put them on risers all around. So when you opened up this TV show, it's almost like, wow. They said, well, okay, the artists are going to lip sync? No. They either got to do it live or they come in with their tracks. They said, okay. What would you call this show? I said, I'm dancing to the disc. The excitement is coming from the sound. It will be the discophonic sound, the world of the Yan Teen. They said, all right, we'll give it 13 weeks. We opened up the show, and I picked out a record by Tommy Ridgely called Jam Up. Tommy Ridgely was out of New Orleans. Great musician, great band leader, responsible for Irma Thomas, one of the best. He had a record called Jam Up, and it opened up like this. I had an announcer called Gene Crane. The studio is in silhouette. Okay, you see everybody in silhouette. And the music goes, we all start to dance. And Gene Crane says, freeze. Everybody stops. Don't dare leave that screen. This is the discophonic TV scene. And here's the young teenage greeter, the teenage leader, the geeter. And I'd say, young teenagers, gather around. Hark to the rock and roll dance sound we're putting down. And today, we've got the Four Tops. Today, we got Peaches and Hurley. Today, we got Little Richard. And they did it all lip-syncing, man. 1965.
Awesome. Yes, indeed.
The show goes on the air in March.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks it goes on the air. It's completely sold out. They move it from a half an hour to an hour. Within 6 weeks, Seven Arts, Warner Brothers, is in Philadelphia CAU syndicating shows. The salesman sees the show when he's in town. They flipped over the show. They call me. They send me to New York City. I make a deal with Seven Arts Warner Brothers, and we were syndicated in 40 markets. 1965 to 1967, an hour show. WFIL, Roger Clip, Walter Annenberg, Lou Klein, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They now want Blavitt to do the show on a Saturday night against Gleason.
Wow.
I move over. We become number one on a Saturday night.
Really?
Number one, Saturday night, okay?
That's amazing.
Now, amazing story. They want to go 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
We go 5 days a week. So from 1965 to the end of 1969, going on this 70, I'm on TV. Now, at that time, I fly out to the coast. I stay with Sammy. I do the Monkees. I'm on the Monkees. Sammy did a version of the Mod Squad. I was there. You wink, you lose me.
I remember that, though. I remember seeing that, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what happens is now a director-producer by the name of H.G. Peters, they're going to do a movie with Gary Merle.
Mm-hmm.
And they think I'm perfect for the part. They give me a script. Now, remember, I'm on 5 days a week. There's a part in there for Sammy. I call Sammy. I said, Sam, I'm doing a movie with Gary Merle. You know, and he knew Gary because he was married to Betty Davis. You know, so the movie is Gary Merle, Jerry Blabbitt, Delphi Lawrence from England, wonderful actress. I'm away from the station. I'm away for 6 weeks. When I come back, they swear that Jerry Blabbitt is going to be the new Dustin Hoffman. And on the screen, they're going to introducing Jerry Blabbitt. My manager, Nat Sigal, says they're offering you another movie with Dan Blocker, my friend Richie Allen, the ball player, and Phyllis Diller called Calliope. I got $25,000 for this first one. They're offering me $50,000 with half advance immediately. Channel 6 comes to me and says, look, ratings dropped the 6 weeks that you were off. But I had guest hosts. I had Al Alberts. I had Connie Francis do me favors and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like my, you know.
Your style, right? Dropped. Right.
So they said to me, look, you can't be away for more than a week. I said, well, George Conner, you know, I got a shot now. They think I'm going to be an actor. He said, well, look, you have to make your decision. Your contract is up at the end of December 69. We intend to go another 3.5 years, but no movies. I made the decision that I want to be an actor. They fly me out to the West Coast. I look at this movie, and they're showing it to distributors. Sammy's with me. Julie Rizzo, who's a friend, was with Sinatra. We're all looking. This was the worst movie I've ever seen. Sammy said to me, Gita, you made a wrong decision.
Uh-oh.
I flew back. And they honored my contract.
Great.
Awesome. In 1970,
mm-hmm.
they gave me 13 weeks on a Sunday doing a show against NFL and AFL.
Okay.
And that was the end of my TV career. I then came back, went back on radio for a time on WCAM.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was a pretty well-known personality in
right.
the market,
okay.
I created a group called the Geeter and the Geeter Men, and I became a performer,
okay.
working the clubs, Atlantic City, Dick Lee's in South Jersey, the 500 Lounge in Franklin and Pratt. I also made some records which sold very well. I recorded for Cameo Parkway, Back to School One More Time.
Awesome.
And yes. then in 72, when I was working down in Margate, I decided to buy the club. So from 72 now, that club is 49 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've done major TV shows. I did the Joey Bishop show. You know, I've just been blessed because I've.
So Jerry, you know, I remember as a young person seeing you at Memories West in Pensauken, and that's where I learned how to do Soul
yes,
City Walk back
yes.
then. That was a great club, man.
That was the Betsy Ross Inn.
Yes. We used to come there. Myself and my girl used to come yes. there all the time. Yeah.
Now, let me tell you who owned that. There was a guy by the name of Biff Hollering.
Mm-hmm.
Biff Hollering was a very successful New York guy who owned the Hollering House. Very successful.
Okay.
He bought the Betsy Ross Inn. And I went in there and did live radio, and I brought, if you remember, Harvey Miller in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also brought...
was it Harvey Holiday in there, too?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, Harvey Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I brought, you know, and, you know, my buddy, I have been... If it weren't for the fact that I was able to follow my passion, and my passion has always been music and making people happy.
Mm-hmm.
Music brings people together.
Yes, it does.
Regardless of race, color, or mm-hmm. creed, it's bringing people together. It doesn't divide people. And to this day, I do that. I make people happy.
Mm.
And that's the fulfillment of my life.
Music from Sly and the Family Stone and Everyday People. As we take you over, under, and through the decades on the R&B Showcase, Tim Marshall with you, and our very special guest is legendary Philadelphia radio broadcaster, American entertainment personality, and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame DJ, the Geeter with the Heater, Jerry Blavitt. It's all about the rhythm, love, and soul, Jerry, and I know you did. You were part of that promotion. I was actually at that show you did in Pittsburgh with Mary Wilson of the Supremes and Jerry Butler. You were co-hosting that show, man. What was a great show.
You
awesome
know,
experience.
I've just been blessed, Mike. How old are you now?
I'm in my 50s now, Jerry. I used to come see you when I was a teenager.
You sound like you're still a young teenager.
Well, the last time I saw you, Jerry, was at the Walk of Fame Awards in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Down there on Broad Street. And my mother used to come to all your shows, Marilyn Marshall. She sang Let's Stay Together at your shows all the time.
Is that your mom?
That's my mother, yes. Miss Marilyn Marshall.
Listen, man. Timmy, I go back, my gosh. You know, there's so many, you know, the sad thing in my life at this point, there's so many of our dear friends mm-hmm. and performers who unfortunately are no longer around.
Yes.
You know, Fats is gone. Richard is gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can go on and on.
You just lost Mary Wilson of the Supremes recently. You know? Yeah.
You know, I do a Facebook page and I do all the interviews with them.
Right.
What you can do is go to my Facebook page.
Okay.
Which is Facebook.com/Geeter, and you'll see me with Dionne Warwick, you'll see me with Gene Chandler, you'll see me with Frankie Avalon and Connie Francis and Little Anthony, and I did the last interview with Mary Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did one with the Chantels, you know. And
okay.
And I did one with Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see all that on Facebook, mm-hmm. you know.
Jerry, is there any advice you can give to our young people that want to get into entertainment? We have a lot of students that listen to this program. They want to know how to get into the business. What advice can you give to them before you go?
This is what I would say to them. First of all, they ask me, young people say, could I have done back then what I did today? The answer would be no, because the opportunities are very, very limited. And with modern technology and with all of this thing which is happening today, modern technology is taking over the ability for talented people to try and create. You listen to radio today, you don't have disc jockeys. You got voice tracks. And if you have someone in the studio, they're pushing buttons. You are the last of radio, because you and I are talking and an audience is relating to it. Sports radio, big. News, big.
Mm-hmm.
Because people relate to each other.
Absolutely.
For young people, when you find something that you want to do in entertainment, don't get discouraged. Get around the people that are in that same career with you. Stay together, get an internship. Look, there's no record business anymore. You mm-hmm. you know what it is right now.
Everything's online, man.
Listen, it's so
different.
Answer to your question,
mm-hmm.
when a young person finds passion for show business, whether it's an actor, whether it's a singer, whether it's a musicians have more of an opportunity today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact they're always needed in one form or another.
That's true.
But don't ever get discouraged for young people. Listen, I've been knocked. I got up. I lost TV show. I started all over again because of my loyalties and friendship with people that I grew up with. They tried to knock me down. But you get up. If God gives you something, Timmy, go with it. Go with it. You know, I'll tell you something. We talked about when I was 13, I began. You know, this pandemic, and I spoke to Frankie Valli on this and all of my dear friends, Lloyd Price. From 13 to 80, this is when the pandemic hit. I worked. I never looked
back. You did.
I never looked at my age. When I turned 80 and I couldn't work, I said, man, one day you get up, 13, and you're traveling and working, then you're 80, and you can't work anymore. But it has not discouraged me because I have found other avenues. I do the radio shows. We're on 5 different stations. I also am able to do Facebook. We're in YouTube. The book is bigger today than ever before because people, when we do the YouTubes, the chats, we get 40,000 people around the world to watch this. I mean, it's this new modern technology.
Well, I mean, I applaud you on what your success, Jerry. I did have one question I wanted to ask you. What was it like for you as being a program director for Guido Gold Radio and managing all of those top name talents? What was that like for you, that experience?
This is what I would do. We would have a meeting every week. And if I thought that you had talent, you would go on the radio. I would not tell you what to play. Just let me hear what you want to play and go with it. You got to let talented people create their own persona. I created my own persona, but I was not the first one to do it. Alan Freed, the king of rock and roll, Dr. Jive, Jocko, Georgie Woods, the man with the goods. So I just followed those who came before me, and I just appreciated that I was able to do what I wanted to do. I mean, let me give you an example. If I liked a record like Don't Make Me Over by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, which, by the way, was complete against the grain of rock and roll in 1962 because of the arrangement, Don't Make Me Over, and that magnificent Dionne Warwick, who I love, I played it. Nobody else would have played it, but because I played it, Sherry by the Four Seasons, Abner, who owned BJ. Sherry is supposed to be for Morris Levy's record label, the Roulette label. And I was having drinks with Bob Crew, who was a producer, and he said to me, I said, this is a hit. When you see Morris, tell him I think it's a smash. This is early in the day. Going down to dinner, and he's sitting at the bar getting drunk. So I said, yo, Crew, you made a score? He said, no. Morris said, this is the worst piece of la-di-da I've ever heard. And tell the Geeter he lost his ear. Now, this is a demo. All right. I said to the bartender at the bar, give me the bar phone. I called up Abner. We were in Florida at a record convention. I said, Ab, I want you to hear a hit. I went up, played it for Abner. He said, Geeter, you're right. He said, the Crew, tell me about the group. So Bob Crew says, well, it's Frankie Valli from the Four Lovers. It's Bob Gaudio with the Royal Teens has a song called Short Shorts. Abner says to me, Geeter, I love it, but it's a white group. I said, Abner, what's that got to do with the thing? He said, yeah, but I got a black label. He said, the black cats, I played Betty Everett. I played Jerry Butler. We played the Spaniels. We played the Dells. That's on our label. I said, Ab, it's a smash. Music doesn't know a color or religion or a creed. He said, yeah, but you know, if you weren't playing Make It Easy on Yourself by Jerry Butler, we would have never had a crossover. So I said, I'm going to make sure this is a crossover. I went back to Philly, played Sherry. After 1 week's time, every record distributor in Philly was calling about this record, Sherry by the Four Seasons. It wasn't out on the label. One of the distributors was Mainline that had VJ and Scepter. I said, Barry, go there. Barry said, we want to get the record. I said, Barry, call Abner. It could have been his label. I'm going to call me back. He says, tell Crew I want to make a deal. And he says, you'll have points. I said, Abner, I didn't do it for money or anything. It's a hit record. Mm-hmm. I never took a dime.
It's awesome.
Because I wanted to play what I wanted to play. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was.
And that song charted on the R&B charts, too, Jerry.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it was the first white group, Timmy, ever to appear on BJ Records. After that, they started to have. They also picked up the Beatles, BJ, you know, when Randy Wood had it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, you know, it's passion. Timmy, your mom had that.
Yes, she did. Yes.
Your mom had that.
Mm-hmm.
When your mom got up and sang, man, I'm telling you, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we came into a lot of your shows, man. So we really appreciate you and the time you've taken to share with us here today and the influence you've had on myself and many DJs. You've influenced decades of DJs, Jerry. So we appreciate you, man. I want you to know that.
I appreciate you for acknowledging. But the real secret is when you find that dream, go for it, man. Don't let anybody stop you, man. And the other thing, as I've lived, as I said earlier, I wanted to be around smarter people.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be around people that I could look up to in show business. Back then, show business, if they saw something that they liked, they helped you back then.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing that I've always learned to this day, stay away from negative people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stay away from negative people. Success is a wonderful thing, but with success comes jealousy, envy,
yep.
Greed.
Oh, yeah.
That only happens when you're successful.
Mm-hmm. That's some great advice, man. I appreciate that. And
all right.
It's good talking with you, man. Jerry, good to talk with you, brother. I appreciate it.
Timmy, anytime. You know, I'm around, okay?
All right, man. Well,
keep on rocking because you only rock once.
You have a great day.
Thank you.
Jerry, going to do the Gator Rap for us today?
But as all good things must come to an end, so must the hippest show on the radio. But don't be ashamed, you can mention the Gator's name, and it ain't going to cost you a dollar. So don't holler, booga-poo, the Gator's all through. But keep on rocking, because you only do rock once.
Jerry Blavid, the Gator with the heater, the big boss with the hot sauce. Thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you, Tim.
Good talking with you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.